And I want to say hello to Pastor Jennifer and Sister Mary there in Pulaski, Tennessee. And family members, I believe, that may be looking, watching tomorrow U.S. time down in Punta Gorda, Florida. Privileged to stand here. My mother's birthday, my mother's 90th birthday was yesterday. So say happy birthday to Mom.
Happy birthday.
I wasn't able to be there, but I told her, Mom, your birthday present this year is your son doing something for God. And she said, amen. So that is probably the best birthday present that I could give her of anything that I might have done on her 90th birthday. So first of all, just some logistics just to help everyone. I have used a prehistoric PowerPoint template because I didn't want to make it too beautiful and get too big that I couldn't transfer it from my computer to the church computer. So I made it as basic as possible. Then after I finished, I thought, oh my goodness, I don't have any notes for the translator. And 中国的朋友,我很抱歉,今天我的材料没有中文的字。 So, you know, for our Chinese members today, I don't have any Chinese characters here in the material, but we will rely on Stella back there to give great translation. And I've made some points there. I put some bullet points on certain slides so that we won't lose anyone as we go through this. And my voice is not good this morning. Amazing. So I may need some water. And there are some long passages that we will look at. And we will share. I wasn't able to put them on the slide. Once again, if the slide gets too big, then it might not be able to be transferred, and then I'd be preaching without any slides. So just some explanations there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to be here in your presence this morning. You have already manifested yourself in this place through your Holy Spirit. And God, now we just say, breathe on us. May the breath of God come to us this day. And Lord, may each of us be touched by you in the way that we need to be touched personally, individually. And when we leave this place, may we leave different than we came. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The title today that I finally landed on is called It's God Thing. Now you might be wondering, is that slang? No, but I have a pastor friend back in the U.S. who often says to me, that was a God thing. And a couple of years ago when I heard him say that, I picked this up. Because now I see in my life many times, it's a God thing. Something has happened. It's a God thing. Just this morning, watching Julia share with the Forge group last Monday night, that's a God thing. So blessed to see that. And so excited. I'm typically a trainer. I typically stand up in my company and teach people how to do things. And a lot of things, I start out with definitions. And today, as I start, I'm going to start with a definition. Usually, I go to some type of authorized dictionary, thesaurus, to share that. Today, I've done something very unique. I've gone to a group that's called the Sons of Sunday. They're a popular contemporary Christian group. They sing a song about God did it. And these verses, I believe, share on target what's a God thing. If you've had water in the wilderness, if you've ever been pulled out of the pit, if you made it through and it makes no sense, then you know it was him. If you got a savior who broke your chains, if you got a maker who made a way, if you got the Holy Ghost in your veins, then you know it was him. So that is the definition I want to share with you. A God thing. Now a story. A few decades ago, a woman gave birth. Upon initial inspection of the newborn by the doctors, everything looked fine, and the parents were very happy. But when it came for the mother to feed the baby for the first time, the baby turned blue in the face and began to choke. The mother raised the baby from its ankles and tried to help the baby breathe by holding the baby upside down. Just as this was happening, a nurse entered the room, thinking the mother had lost her mind. The baby was examined and was examined by the doctors and discovered that the small flap separating the airway to the lungs and the food tube to the stomach was not functioning, and everything the baby was eating was flowing into its lungs. This would require immediate surgery. The father had just signed up for a new extra level of insurance so that the cost of the surgery wouldn't be a financial burden to the family, unknowingly that this would happen. The doctors advised the parents that there was about a 50% chance that the baby would survive the surgery due to the intensity of what was needed to be done, similar to open-heart surgery, but there were no other options. They would use a new procedure to try to correct the situation that was not yet tried and tested. The parents turned to God and prayed and asked others to pray. The surgery went ahead, and the baby survived and remained in hospital for the first 6 weeks of its life, bundled in bandages from head to toe, to the point that the parent could not hold the baby, but merely rubbed the top of its head. The baby improved day by day and began to grow. In the doctor's follow-up checks, they told the parents, the new procedure seemed to be successful, but if the baby made it to adulthood, it probably would not live past 50 years old. I was that baby. I was that baby. God beat the odds. I stand here today, healthy, able to breathe, able to enjoy my food, able to live for God. And you know, in August, I'll be 65 years old. So, that's a God thing. God is a God of miracles, and he does great things for all of us. It's a God thing. Sometimes these things are huge. When we listen to Sister Eileen talk about how God healed her and used this stem cell treatment that she went through the last couple of years, she's not here today. But amazing. Just the wonderful work that God has done. I originally thought that I was going to entitle my sharing today, When God Breathes on Us. Then I moved to the breath of God. And then I settled on, it's a God thing. And this morning when I was here early preparing and praying, I listened to Brother Steve speak to the musicians. And he started talking about a few things that I will also share later on in the sharing. And it just shows how the Holy Spirit was coordinating everything throughout the week. The prayers from Pastor Jennifer, the prayers from many of you who came to me or sent me a text and said, I'm praying for you. We're looking forward to hearing you talk on Sunday. And I was just amazed and touched by God, how he coordinated everything and how this all plays out for his glory. So I wouldn't be able to talk about the breath of God without going to that first breath. Recorded in Genesis 2:7. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. Just amazes me. I've heard this over and over throughout my life. But when we think about it, God breathed into us his breath. With that, we receive the image of God in his likeness that elevated us different from any other part of creation. And what amazed me also in the study is I'd never, ever, ever thought about it being an act of love. That actually, this whole thing of creation was the way that he extended his love to us, showed his love to us, an enactment of intimate love toward humanity. So that first breath. I often think and wonder, and this week I was wondering also, whatever led God to love us so much? I think when we get to heaven, we will understand that. But we see through life that we live and also through biblical history and biblical record, all of the wonderful things that point us to how much God loves us. The breath of God is the source of our life. They say you can live without food for about 30 days. You can live without water for about 3 days. You can live without breath for about 30 seconds. So breath, the breath sustains us. The breath is the source of our life. For the Spirit of God in Job 33:4, for the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. And this morning, oh my goodness, the first chorus that we sang about the breath in me, let's praise the Lord. Amen. And it's a continuous gift. It's not a one-time thing, but it actually actively sustains us moment by moment, year by year. And it also is evident of God's invisible power. We don't see our breath. Right now, all of you are breathing. I don't see it. It's invisible power. I grew up part of my life in Michigan where it got very cold, snowy. Temperature always a little bit freezing. Then we could go out and we could breathe and we could see the vapor of the air, our breath in the air. But God's breath is an unseen yet powerful force, and it animates our very existence. Exodus 3, 1 through 15. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that through the bush, Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face, because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Wow, got through there, praise God. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what should I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. This is the first time in the Hebrew scriptures that we see the name of God. The name that we often pronounce as Yahweh. Many times you'll see it without the vowels. Why? Because the Hebrews were always taught not to say it. It's so sacred. In reverence to this name, they would not pronounce it. It's like Elohim. And we often in English refer to this as Lord. When we think of the breath of God, we discover something else about this wonderful name. When you breathe breath through your nostrils, through your nose, and exhale through your mouth, you breathe in and exhale. You breathe in, you exhale. The sound of that very much reflects the sound of this wonderful name of the Almighty. And we go around every day inhaling and exhaling, inhaling and exhaling. The first thing we do when we enter this life is we breathe the name of God. Through good days and bad days, we're breathing the name of God. And the last thing we do on this very earth before we depart is in our last breath, we speak that name of God, Yahweh. I'm amazed how all these wonderful things remind us of the breath of God. Not only does that breath sustain us, but it renews us. And going to Ezekiel 37, 1 through 11, Stella, I'll give you some time to find it, and I will get it as well. This is the valley of the dry bones. The vision that Ezekiel had. And let's read this passage. Let me read it to you. Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and the tendons and flesh appeared on them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them." Thank you. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army." So this vision that Ezekiel had, we might call it a dream, this vision that I've just read, In many ways, if we can go back to my slide, in many ways it shows as he was led out through the valley, all the dry bones, very dry bones, lifeless bones, symbolizes desolation. Reminds me of when a storm passes through, everything is gone, flattened. But also in this vision, we hear the divine command from the sovereign Lord, I will make breath enter you. And then also in this vision, we see transformation. We see that the bones assemble and flesh forms. And then resurrection. As he prophesies, from the four winds the breath comes, and they come back to life. Now, what's the practical application to us? Trust in God's power when faced with hopeless situations. This happens to us quite a bit sometimes. Some days more than others. Some years more than others. Sometimes it comes at us like a tsunami, the hopelessness. Sometimes we're oppressed by the enemy. Sometimes it's the circumstances in life. Sometimes it's health. And if you're like me, oftentimes, I wouldn't say I'm a superstar Christian. I'm human. And oftentimes, I'll spend 3 days trying to figure it out myself. And I'll be thinking, how do I get through this? Where do I go to get this that I need? Or I'll need this. Where do I find this? And I'll work this out in my mind. And then suddenly, the Holy Spirit would tap me on my shoulder in my heart. Hey, Keith, pray. Pray. And I'm beginning to learn this more and more in my life, that when I see this coming, and I see the hopelessness, pray. There's power in prayer. We share every Sunday the power that God has done in our lives. The things that have happened that make no sense. The miracles that take place. The stories that we share. The history. I tell you this story about my mother and father and what they went through when I was only 3 days old. I look on this, I look back on this, and I go, God, you were with me then, you will be with me now. And I don't whisper it because I want the devil to hear it as well. Second point, speak the word of God. We not only, when we speak God's word, as Ezekiel did, we ignite God's solution to the problem. We call on the name of the Lord. I call on the name of the Lord. As Brother Steve was demonstrating this morning, we are calling on the name of the Lord. And in that same way, we are igniting our faith, pulling up our faith, believing strongly in the Lord. And there are some favorites of mine. I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens me. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will lift up a standard against it. this trust in the Lord with all your heart and not lean into your own understanding. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And sometimes I just find that the name of Jesus is all I can say. All I can speak is Jesus. Jesus. And when we speak the name of Jesus, we know what happens, church. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Jesus, intervene. Jesus, help. Jesus, I speak the name of. I speak the name of Jesus over this individual, over this situation. We speak God's word. And the next point that's illustrated very practically in Ezekiel's vision is rely on the Holy Spirit. There are some things that only God can do through His Holy Spirit. And that might mean that something is happening on the other side of the world. But our prayers put action into work. And God can do what we cannot do in many times through His Holy Spirit. And the last point from the vision that Ezekiel had that we can take with us today is hope for restoration. Things that are broken in our life that need to be put back together. Callings that God has given us in years past that we have not acted on yet. But as God brings those back together, we will. And His work will be accomplished. And if we're particularly dry, my goodness, I think about how long I've considered myself serving the Lord, being a Christian. And it's many, many, many years. And many times we just have to go to God and ask for renewal, for restoration. And rely on Him. I could not share a short message with you this morning without when thinking about the breath of God, mentioning the breath as the Holy Spirit. And I will go to John 14:15-21. This is Jesus speaking to His disciples. If you love, John 14:15. If you love Me, keep My commands. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him or knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long the world will not see Me anymore, but you will see Me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day you will realize that I am my that I am in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Amen. In Acts 2, 1 through 4, now in John, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, promising them the Holy Spirit, an advocate, a helper. I'm not going to be here with you, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. The Father will send the Holy Spirit. And then on the day of Pentecost, recorded in Acts 2, 1 through 4, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So, we see a physical act with spiritual significance. In John, the scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit lives with you and will be in you. And in that, we have an enablement of power and confidence. I often teach the employees in the company that I work for a lot of things about personal effectiveness. And one of the things is project confidence. And we have this saying sometimes, fake it till you make it. Because many times people stand up, they walk up onto a platform, they have to make a presentation or public speaking or something, and they look down at the ground. Or they're shaken like a leaf, and then all the distractions around. Or they look over and they see their boss sitting in the chair, and they lose it. They melt. Their knees get wobbly. So we tell them, okay, have confidence. Build up your confidence. Tell yourself, fake it till you make it. Just do it. And that's how that confidence starts building up in them. Now, in Acts 2, Acts 2, 17 through 18. Actually, what happened in verses 2, 1 through 4 is a fulfillment of a prophecy in the Old Testament in the book of Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. The Holy Spirit is available for everyone. Man, woman, servant, across society. It wasn't just for selected individuals. Because God has all of us given us a mission. When he spoke to his disciples, "Follow me," and the disciples said, "I will follow you," it wasn't just to have a good time, but it was to accomplish a mission. And in their heart, they decided they were going to do something for God. And the same happens to us. When we are surrendering all we have to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, "God, take me. I'm tired of this life of living without you. And what this world can give cannot satisfy, cannot match what you can give." So, we find our purpose. Everybody in this world is talking about find your purpose in life. Well, church, we don't have to go very far. We don't have to travel to some exotic country and participate in some weird workshop to find God. We can find God here on Hillwood Road in this place every Sunday. And reminder, church is not a spectator sport. Let's not just come sit down and watch. But let's be active in service to him. Let's see what we can do on any Sunday morning, whatever it is. We come to church to serve others. Let's come to church to pray for others. Let's come to church to lift up others, to encourage others. Somebody says, "How was your week?" "It wasn't good." "Oh, brother, let me pray for you. Sister, let me lift you up." The sister that shared this morning, "Oh, my employer is accused me of stealing something." Two options. "Oh, that's so bad." No. Option two, let's pray. Let's pray. This didn't come from God. Let's pray. Charles Stud, who was a famous missionary many years ago in this part of the world, said, "Only what is done for God will last." Take that point with you. Only what is done for God will last. Don't listen to all of those social media influencers. Let's get away from that. All of that is dust in the air. Soon it will be gone. But what is done for God will last. And praise. Oh, what a wonderful praise and worship we had this morning. "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord." Psalm 150, verse 6. You know, let me find it. And I'm going over. I am so sorry. Do you want me to stop? Okay, let's have church. Because I completely understand Pastor Jennifer now when she says, "Oh, I have so much to say, but you all look hungry." And we go, "Yeah, let's go to lunch." But no, let's keep going. I won't keep you long. You know, this isn't, "Oh, you have the option to praise the Lord." But this actually is a command. You have breath in you. Praise the Lord. The call to praise in Psalm 150 is not limited to traditional forms of worship like singing or praising or praying. It extends to every action and every breath we take. The verse underlines the importance of living a life that honors God. When we engage in daily activities, whether it's helping others, showing love and kindness, or being good stewards of creation, we are fulfilling His command to praise. And once again, back to the worship this morning, the chorus about the breath in me, let it praise the Lord. Our breath is the ultimate purpose of our breath is worship. Every time we exhale, as I said earlier, we breathe in and we exhale. We are expressing an act of gratitude. And if it isn't, let's be more conscious of it. And let's really reflect on it and let it build us up. Let it build up our faith. How wonderful God is to us in giving us this breath. In Isaiah 61:3, it talks about putting on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. You know, a few weeks ago I testified about something. I shared with the church and then more personally with others some of my struggles that I've had since my father passed last year. And when he passed, it was very early in the morning. I was sitting next to the bed, and my sister had gone to the other room to get his medicine. And at that point in time, he could only drink coffee. We knew it wouldn't be long. And when I was holding his hand, he took his last breath. When my sister came back into the room, she looked at me and she saw what was on my face, and I said, "Kim, I think he's gone." And sure enough, as we leaned over toward his face, can we feel any breath coming out, even light? And he had left us. Then during the funeral and all the preparation of the funeral, and then the limited time I had there, I got caught up in the busyness of everything that I really didn't get to mourn. I felt I needed to be strong for others. I came back to Hong Kong, buried myself in my work. Went back to the U.S. recently, and it hit me. Wow. Oh, my. We went to the graveyard. We went to the cemetery. We visited the place where he lays now. And I came back to Hong Kong like he had just passed moments before. And I started the grief process. And, oh, I struggled. And, of course, when the enemy sees you struggling, he brings on other things to throw you off track as well. So that's really where, when I testified, stood up and told the church that day, pray for me. And from that point, or the Sunday before, I was reflecting on what I had done. But really, there was a breakthrough there. And the time between then and now has just been miraculous. Because God really spoke to me about what I could really do. And the praise was going to what brings the breakthrough. And I started researching on what I needed to do daily in my daily life. And these were the points that came to me. In Hong Kong, we are so busy. Too busy. So distracted. Sometimes they say, oh, let's do that on Sunday morning. It's not such a busy time for us. No, I'm going to church. Sorry. That should be our response. But let's push the pause button. Claire's a therapist, and she might have heard some of these things. But these are some of the things that I share in some of the work that I do with employees in the company. The first 15 minutes of the day is really important and sacred. It sets the mood for the whole day. So be conscious of what you're doing the very first 15 minutes of the day. It being, if you turn on the news and the first thing you hear is all the chaos and troubles that are happening in the world, you're not going to set yourself up in a good way for the rest of the day. So keep that in mind. Maybe it's praise and prayer, taking a walk, thinking of God, how good He is, meditating, reflecting on His goodness. Breathe, because breath resets our brain. Three deep breaths brings more oxygen to our physical being, sets God's breath in us at work again. And if we just take 6 seconds, if we just pause for 6 seconds in the busyness of the day, it'll help us understand how to differentiate between a reaction, which is very instinctive and maybe not what we want to do, to a proper response. And invite and welcome God's presence consciously and with intent. Don't wait for the feeling. I am one guy who waited for feeling many days. And when the feeling didn't come, I didn't lift my hands. Now, intentionally, every day, I have discovered God's wonderful grace, mercy, by saying, okay, before I leave this house, I'm going to lift my hands, praise the Lord, begin my day the way I want to begin it. I'm not going to let work affect me and set me in any type of mood. I'm going to think on the goodness of God. I'm going to raise my hands and praise Him. I'm going to speak His word. I'm going to ask His anointing to be on my life and let favor be shown to me in all things that I do. And may they see God in me, the people that I work with, the people that I encounter in my life. And I'm closing. Today, this message was really meant to help us understand that the breath of God in us and all the things that He does for us is the foundation of our life. And from there, we understand that He sustains us every day through the good and the bad, through the ups and the downs, through the unexpected trials that we may have, through the dangers that we come through and we survive. And then the renewal. What we may need in terms of something different in our life. Callings that we have put aside, but now we need to touch again and can see what God can do in our lives. Renew us, Lord Jesus. Breathe on us once again, Holy Spirit. And then at the top of this pyramid or triangle, the power that we have in Christ Jesus, in our faith, Be confident. Be bold. Every step we take for the Lord. And remembering that missionary saying, only what is done for God will last. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. As we close this service this morning, may I encourage you to allow God's breath to renew and transform your life wherever you are in your walk with God. If you're a new believer, if you don't know the Lord, say, Jesus, today is my day. I give you my life. Make me a new person. And some of us old timers, oh God, let me bloom where I've been planted. Let me serve you for all the days that I have left. And Lord God, if you come like a thief in the night, may I be ready. May I join you in the skies. And may I also encourage you to seek the refreshment and power of the Holy Spirit daily. To think about how you are inhaling and exhaling. How we are breathing the breath of God day to day. And the power that God has given us to live our lives the way He has asked us to live. And I want to pray also for everyone before we go. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You're a mighty God. Thank you for the presence that you have been here with us in this service today from the very start, from the scripture that Brother John shared. Enter the gates with thanksgiving and praise, and through the worship that Brother Steve led, and the words that have come through this message, oh God, sink them deep in our heart. May I be so bold, Holy Spirit, breathe on us once again, oh Lord. Fulfill the mission that this church has in Hong Kong, for our lives individually, as we go out and we touch people's lives that don't know you, that Pastor Jennifer would never be able to touch. People that we encounter at work and in various social activities, oh God, may we be your witness. May we be bold in speaking the word of God. Fill us with your power, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, direct us, guide us, give us wisdom. Help us to do your work. We believe this work that we do for God will last. And Lord, we ask these things in your mighty name. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. The Lord is with you, and the Lord is in you. Amen.